Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A significant shift in India's gold reserves is underway, with the Reserve Bank of India transferring a substantial amount of gold from foreign vaults to domestic storage, marking the largest annual repatriation on record. First, let's delve into the details of this development. The Reserve Bank of India has transferred 168.06 metric tons of gold from foreign vaults, specifically the Bank of England and the Bank for International Settlements, to domestic storage in the financial year 2025 to 2026. This move has resulted in India's total gold reserves now standing at 880.52 metric tons as of March 2026. With a significant 77% of these reserves being held domestically, up from 38% in March 2023. Gold accounts for 16.7% of India's total foreign exchange reserves. The reason behind this repatriation is largely driven by geopolitical concerns, particularly the risk of asset freezes following the precedent set by Russia sanctions. What makes this significant is the impact it has on India's economic security and its ability to navigate through geopolitical tensions. But why does this matter? It matters because having a substantial portion of our gold reserves within the country reduces our vulnerability to external economic pressures and allows for more control over our financial assets. Now, let's turn to another important development in the realm of economy and development. The Union Cabinet has approved the Mission for Cotton Productivity, a scheme worth 5,659.22 crore that will be implemented from 2026 to 2031. This mission aims to cover 140 districts across 14 states, with the target of raising lint productivity from 440 kg per hectare to 755 kg per hectare and increasing production to 498 lakh bales by 2031. Each bale, it's worth noting, is equivalent to 170 kg. This initiative will benefit approximately 32 lakh cotton farmers through a digital platform and will be implemented by the Ministries of Agriculture and Textiles in collaboration with the Indian Council of Agricultural Research and the Council of Scientific and Industrial Research. The premium brand for this initiative is Kasturi Cotton Bharat. Building on this, the government has also eased foreign direct investment norms through Press Note 2 of the 2026 series, which modifies the earlier Press Note 3 of 2020. According to this new norm, companies with up to 10% Chinese or Hong Kong shareholding, without control, can now invest through the automatic FDI route. Control, in this context, is defined as per the Prevention of Money Laundering Act of 2002, where more than 10% shareholding is considered to signify a beneficial owner. It's interesting to note that China's share in India's FDI is 0.32%, amounting to $2.51 billion US, ranking 23rd in terms of FDI share. However, investments from land border nations still require prior government approval. Additionally, there's a new processing timeline for government route applications, which has been set at 12 weeks. Multilateral banks, including the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, are now exempt from land border restrictions. Crucially, the Cabinet has also approved the Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme 5.0, with an additional credit facility of 2,55,000 crore. This scheme guarantees 100% credit for micro, small, and medium enterprises and 90% for non-MSMEs and airlines. There is no guarantee fee, and the additional credit for MSMEs and non-MSMEs can go up to 20% of their peak working capital, with a cap of 100 crore. For airlines, the additional credit can be up to 100% of their outstanding credit, with a cap of 1,500 crore per borrower. The National Credit Guarantee Trustee Company Limited will be the implementing agency for this scheme, which will be valid until 31st March 2027. And here is something that surprises many students. The government has also approved a 1,570 crore brownfield ship repair facility at Vadinar, Gujarat, in partnership between the Deen Dayal Port Authority and Cochin Shipyard Limited. This facility will have a 650-meter jetty and two floating dry docks that can accommodate vessels up to 230 meters in length, with a maximum vessel capacity of 300 meters. This project is expected to generate direct employment for approximately 290 people and indirect employment for about 1,100 people. The strategic alignment of this project is with the Maritime India Vision 2030 and the Maritime Amritkal Vision 2047. Now, let's turn to the world of science, technology, and defense. The National Company Law Appellate Tribunal, or NCLAT, has upheld the Adani Group's 14,535 crore resolution plan for Jayaprakash Associates Limited, rejecting a challenge from Vedant. This deal allows Adani to acquire approximately 3,985 acres of prime land in the National Capital Region, along with assets related to the Delhi Airport Corridor, at a valuation of about 25 paise on the rupee. This transaction is being carried out under the framework of the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code of 2016. What does this mean for India's strategic position? The acquisition of such significant land and assets can have implications for both economic development and strategic security. But why does this matter? It matters because it reflects the evolving landscape of corporate deals and strategic acquisitions in India, which can have far-reaching implications for the country's economic and geopolitical standing. Moving on to defense, the Indian Navy has inducted the INS Mahendragiri, the sixth of seven Nilgiri-class stealth frigates under Project 17A. This ship was delivered on 30th April 2026 at the Mazago Dock Shipbuilders Ltd. in Mumbai. Notably, the INS Mahendragiri has an indigenous content of 75% and it is equipped with BrahMos supersonic missiles, MFSTAR radar, and the MRASAM air defense system. The ship's propulsion system is based on the combined diesel or gas, or CODOG, model. The builder split for these ships is between Mazago Dock, which is building four ships, and Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers, which is building three ships, all under the design guidance of the Warship Design Bureau. It is worth pausing here to note that the Ministry of Mines has approved 58 companies under the Critical Mineral Recycling Incentive Scheme, which was notified on 2nd October 2025, with a budget of 1,500 crore for the period from 2025 to 2031. This scheme provides a capital expenditure subsidy of 20%, with a ceiling of 50 crore for Group A and 25 crore for Group B. India's import dependence on critical minerals exceeds 80%, resulting in an annual outflow of 80,000 crore. The scheme targets waste streams such as e-waste, spent lithium-ion batteries, permanent magnets, and catalytic converters. Now, let us turn to the realm of international relations and security. India and Cambodia have conducted a joint military exercise called Sinbaks-2 in Kampong Speu province, Cambodia. The Indian contingent consisted of 120 personnel from the Maratha Light Infantry Regiment, while the Cambodian side had 160 personnel from the Royal Cambodian Army. The focus of this exercise was on counter-terrorism operations in semi-urban and jungle terrain, as well as drone operations and sniper tactics. This is the second edition of the exercise, with the first one, Sinbaksai, having been held in Pune, India, in December 2024. This exercise is linked to India's Act East policy. With that background in place, let us look at the implications of another significant development. Bhutan and the World Bank have signed $515 million financing agreements for the 1,125 megawatts Dorjilung hydroelectric power project on the Kurichu River in eastern Bhutan. The annual generation from this project is expected to be more than 4,500 GWh, with about 80% of the power being supplied to India. The total cost of the project is approximately 13,100 crore, or about $1.7 billion. The project involves the construction of a 139.5-meter concrete gravity dam with 6 Francis turbines. The developer of the project is Dorjilung Hydro Power Limited, which is a joint venture between Drig Green Power Corporation, which holds 60%, and Tata Power, which holds 40%. The project is expected to be commissioned by September 2031 and is Bhutan's largest public-private partnership hydropower project. In other news, Boko Haram militants have killed 23 Chadia soldiers and injured 26 in an attack on a military post in the Lake Chad region. Lake Chad, which borders Chad, Cameroon, Nigeria, and Niger, has shrunk to less than one-tenth of its size in the 1960s and is a critical freshwater lake with no outlet to the ocean. Its primary inflow is from the Chari River. Now, let us turn to the polity and governance sector. The Union Cabinet has approved the Supreme Court, Number of Judges, Amendment Bill 2026, which increases the sanctioned strength of the Supreme Court from 34 to 38. Including the Chief Justice of India. This change is based on the constitutional authority provided by Article 124(1), which empowers Parliament to make such changes by a simple majority. The original strength of the Supreme Court, when it was established in 1956, was 11 judges, including the Chief Justice. All expenditures of the Supreme Court are charged to the Consolidated Fund of India, and appointments to the Supreme Court are recommended by the Supreme Court Collegium. In another development, the Tamilga Vetri Kazgam, or TVK, has formed the government in Tamil Nadu with the support of the Congress Party, after the assembly elections resulted in a hung verdict. TVK won 108 out of 234 seats, while the Congress Party's 5 MLAs brought the total to 113, still requiring additional alliance members to form a stable government. The leader of TVK is C. Joseph Vijay, an actor politician. The rationale behind the Congress Party's decision to extend support to TVK is to protect the constitution and secular values. The Ministry of Panchayati Raj is expanding the Samarth Panchayat portal to states including Assam, Uttar Pradesh, and Maharashtra for digital management of own source revenue by gram panchayats. This initiative is based on the 73rd constitutional amendment, which deals with Panchayati Raj. Own source revenue includes taxes, service charges, rents, leases, and fees collected at the panchayat level. Now, let us move to the environment and ecology sector. Scientists have discovered a new freshwater crab species, Indopotamon alipodurans, in the subhimalayan Dors region of Alipurduar district in West Bengal. This species is found in deep burrows, up to 1.5 meters deep, in muddy rice fields and is active from May to August. It has a grey shell with orange-red edges and claws. This is the second species in the Indopotamon genus, and India is now home to 183 species of freshwater crabs. In another significant finding, scientists have identified 3 new plant species in the eastern Ghats of Andhra Pradesh, which are critically endangered. These species are Euphorbia ananthapurmensis, found in the Nigiri forest of Sri Satya Sai district, with about 80 individuals, Euphorbia chalamensis, found in the Chalma forest of the Gundla Brahmeshwaram Wildlife Sanctuary in Nandil district, with more than 100 individuals, and Seropegia andrica, found in the Paderu forest of Alluri Sitaramaraju district, with about 200 individuals. These species face threats from mining, forest fires, and grazing. And here is something that surprises many students: the caracal, also known as the Sia Ghosh, has been spotted in the Thar desert of Rajasthan, near the India-Pakistan border. The caracal can run at speeds of up to 80 km per hour and can leap up to 3 meters to catch birds. Its distribution includes Africa, Central and West Asia, and northwestern India. The caracal is listed as least concern on the IUCN Red List but is protected under Schedule I of the Wildlife Protection Act of 1972 in India. In other news, a 21-year-old male Bengal tiger named Vikram has died at the Jim Corbett National Park in Uttarakhand. Jim Corbett National Park, which was established in 1936 as Heirloom National Park and renamed in 1957, is India's first national park and the first project tiger site, established in 1973. The park covers an area of more than 1,300 square kilometers and is drained by the Ram Ganga River. The United Nations Environment Programme's Methane Alert and Response System, or MARS, has been expanded to include coal mines and waste facilities. MARS is operated by the International Methane Emissions Observatory and was launched at the COP27 conference in Sharm el-Sheikh in November 2022. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE20 engine generates a thrust of 200 kN. The Reserve Bank of India has transferred 168.06 metric tons of gold from foreign vaults to domestic storage. The total gold reserves of India now stand at 880.52 metric tons. The Mission for Cotton Productivity has a budget of 5,659.22 crore. The Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme 5.0 has an additional credit facility of 2,55,000 crore. The Brownfield Ship Repair Facility at Vadinar, Gujarat, has a cost of 1,570 crore. The Dojilung Hydroelectric Power Project has a capacity of 1,125 megawatts. The caracal can run at speeds of up to 80 kilometers per hour. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? It's essential to keep track of these developments as they can have significant implications for various aspects of India's economy, defense, international relations, and environment. Understanding these connections can help you prepare more effectively for your exams. In the realm of persons and awards, three Indian journalists have won Pulitzer Prizes, announced on 4 May 2026 at Columbia University in New York. Anand R.K. and Suparna Sharma from Bloomberg won the award for illustrated reporting and commentary for their project Trapped, which investigated India's digital arrest cyber fraud epidemic. Anirudh Ghosal from the Associated Press won the award for international reporting. The Pulitzer Prize, established in 1917, recognizes outstanding work in 23 categories, with each winner receiving $15,000. The Sudanese Journalists Syndicate has been awarded the 2026 Guillermo Cano World Press Freedom Prize by UNESCO. This prize, established in 1997, is named after Guillermo Cano Isaza, a Colombian journalist who was assassinated in 1986. The prize is selected by an independent international jury and is awarded on World Press Freedom Day, which is observed on 3 May. In conclusion, these developments across various sectors highlight the dynamic nature of current affairs and their potential impact on India's trajectory. From economic shifts and defense advancements to environmental discoveries and international cooperation, each of these stories contributes to a broader narrative of India's growth, challenges, and aspirations.